One of my uncles does a barbershop, he does DJing, he does tattoos. He's like one of them multitaskers, they can do anything.
That entrepreneurial spirit is obviously running through.
To be honest, he probably, it's probably just in the water and dry.
Yeah. hey. As the dog man, I beg to differ.
Nah, but Dublin is great as well. I think Dublin has a lot of talent. I don't know about the dog, but I'm joking.
Safo, you're very welcome to the Black and Irish podcast. Obviously, we wanted to bring you on just because of the amazing work that you do in the Irish music scene, what you've contributed and how much you've built up some of the artists that are in the scene right now.
Appreciate you guys for even having me, first of all. This is like where I see the industry going. Like, you know, we're getting to different places. So this is, first of all, like a big thing, and like shout out to you guys as well for doing your thing.
Appreciate it.
And then, literally for how I got started was, I mean, I think I've always been that guy looking for different ways to like make it in a way, you know what I mean? I remember when I was growing up, Christmas time was my period to make some money. I'd go knocking on people's doors and singing some Christmas carols to them, and then they'd be like,
Can you sing?
Yeah, a little bit. Summertime was another one where like I go around with the, you know, the, what's that, Yoki?
The lawnmower, cook grasses,
and I'm there. So I've just realized that I had an entrepreneurial spirit from the get-go.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like, that is kind of who I am. And I was like, fair enough. Do you know what? I actually have a passion for music.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy in the spotlight.
Okay.
But I know a few people that do. So that's kind of how I got into doing it. But like, I think it just came from early.
Yeah. And can I ask, how did those conversations start? So obviously, people around you were started making music, or you maybe heard them or something and were like, you should make music on a more regular basis. But how does that conversation happen of you taking over their management?
At first, they were just doing it as a hobby. Mm. So, for example, Officer, who is like one of the biggest rappers in Ireland, like he was doing it as a hobby, and he was playing football for Drogheda United, like a professional football team.
Yeah.
So telling them, yo, bro, you're so talented in this. Even if you're going to be a footballer, that's fine. But like, why don't you try rapping as well? Like, for example, like Memphis Depay, if anyone knows Memphis Depay.
He does
rapping and football.
He made that one song. Yeah.
It was hard, like, you know.
It was pretty good. Alfonso Davis does it as well, where he raps as well.
Oh, really?
He makes music as well. Man. And then, so I feel like, I just didn't want to, I felt like I didn't want him to be in a box. I said, you know what, you can do all things, you know what I mean? So yeah, he kind of agreed, and he just said, you know what? Because of the way I was eager. I was letting him know, yo, I know this guy. Maybe sometimes I was just telling him a bit of a white lie, but I really did know a few people within the industry. And then he believed me, and we knew each other since we were 4 years old. So I think the trust was there already.
Yeah.
And from that point on, it was like green light.
You said like, you know, you had some contacts in the industry already. Like, how did you build that up initially?
I think, do you know what? I think by building up contacts, you need to just like go to events. Go to events, you know, email people. I think like being a manager is based on your relationships, the people you know.
Mm.
And like even like there's this guy I know in the UK, his name is TK. He runs a company called Finesse Forever alongside a friend called SK who manages Russ Millions.
Oh, wow.
Mm. These guys are like my mentors, and like with them, if I need someone's contact quickly in the UK,
brilliant,
you hit them up. And okay, I mean, they're so like, you know, you meet people that are just genuine people that actually want to see you succeed.
Mm.
There's someone in the industry in Ireland called Joe Clark. He's an amazing guy. Like Solomon Adesha, you know, you just meet a lot of people that you can just connect with, and they can see your hustle. They can see, you know, the hunger inside of you. And I feel like that's just like, you know, just building relationships, you know, and being a good person. Yeah.
Yeah. I get you. Let me just take a quick step back. And like, tell us a bit about you, like your upbringing, where you're from, your background.
So I was actually originally born in Netherlands. Rotterdam,
right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I'm actually Dutch. I'm European, but I came here when I was 4 years old, and then I feel like this place just like accepted me like a, like so well, you know. Being from Europe and then coming here, I had to adjust into a language. And then the moment I did adjust, I forgot my own language, so I even forgot how to speak Dutch.
Right.
Yeah, so like that was just something that happened. Started learning Irish, you know, came exactly in a junior infants, raised in Drogheda. And, you know, that's like, that was really literally where I met Officer.
Yeah.
Met most of my friends, everyone that I work with now, knew them from the likes of junior infants. And, that was basically, just that, you know, just growing up in Drogheda, yeah.
Super.
And what's that like? Kind of like working with people that you've known pretty much like all your life. Mm-hmm. What's that experience?
Yeah, I feel like obviously I've known them all my life, and then we kind of went our separate ways. So I went to university in Sligo IT, where I did a degree over there. And when I went over there, I feel like I've seen people do stuff that they didn't expect themselves to do.
Right.
I mean, have you ever been with like a bunch of kids where they're like, oh, I'm never going to smoke when I'm older, and then. The next 10 years they're smoking, you know. It's just like
that's all they do. Whole personality.
You know what I mean? Like there was like, we were just like, you know, there was just so many things that was different about us, and we were like, oh, okay. So then I realized that maybe it's because there was like a lack of drive, and there was a lack of like enthusiasm to do stuff. So when music came into the picture and Officer was flying, everyone was like, oh my God, I actually know how to rap as well. And I think I can even rap better than him. So why can't I get into this? So then it was just kind of like one of my uncles does a barbershop, he does DJ and he does tattoos. He's like one of them multitaskers. They can do anything.
That entrepreneurial spirit is obviously running through.
To be honest, it's probably just in the water and draw that. Yeah. I say all the time.
Hey. As the dog man, I beg to differ.
No, but Dublin is great as well. I think Dublin has a lot of talent. I don't know about the doctor. I'm joking.
Something you said earlier about like making sure that Officer wasn't boxing himself in to one thing. I do feel like there's a number of artists out there that feel like they can't really get into the music game because of their background or what they're doing. Like, you know, whether you're working in tech or whether you're working like, you know, a regular just day-to-day job, you feel like, I don't know whether it's, people feel like a little bit of a fraud making music as well, where they're talking about being this kind of like up-and-coming or superstar, and then they're working a 9-to-5 as well. So what would you say to people who feel like that they can't really get into music because they're doing a day-to-day thing?
I just feel like if you really want to do something, you might as well just do it.
Mm.
If you want to become a musician, you might as well just become a musician. Yeah. I didn't actually want to become a manager. I wanted to become a football manager.
Right.
So I knew I had to have the...
There's still time, bro.
Yeah, there's still time. I might still go for it, you know what I mean?
I'm thinking of going pro myself.
To be honest, I was with... Oh, there's Fumes, the engineer, calling me there. I might have to... just leave that.
Yeah.
Can I take phone calls?
No, I
won't do that.
Expose trade secrets.
So literally, one of the things I always say, if you want to do something, you might as well go for it.
Yeah.
And I just believe that a lot of people kind of set themselves down and they don't want to go for
the stuff
that they want to do, you know? And that's just kind of the sad part about it. But then I always say, just do it.
The Irish scene is exploding at the moment. Like,
it's doing phenomenal.
There's so much going on. What's your take on the scene at the minute? I suppose you probably have an eye for it more than others.
Mm.
Who do you see that you think is going to make it that maybe people aren't paying enough attention to?
Yeah. So obviously in our scene right now, we have like the commercial guys, the pop guys, Gemma Dunleavy, Erica Cody, you know, we have the Dermot Kennedys. We have like some amazing guys, and then we have like the rap scene, the urban scene, which are making a lot of noise right now. They didn't want to hear us before, but like I think now everybody is like really impressed about how, you know, everyone's doing, you know.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So that's great. And then there's like people that are still trying to reach a level, you know. And I feel like there's a lot of people. There is a guy called AC3,
he's
from Dublin. There's also a guy called AO. There's a guy called Leo Hayward, young kid, 17-year-old. You know, he's kind of just explaining what it's like to be from that area.
Right.
You know? And I feel like that's what music is about. It's about explaining your lifestyle. So even when you said earlier that someone's doing a 9-to-5, you could really tell me that, you're doing a 9-to-5, but you want to be a guy going on tour 24/7. And then when you actually go on tour, you might be realizing, you know what? I actually like my 9-to-5. And that could be your storyline, you know. There's just different storylines than people could actually relate to a listener. I feel like just even making music is like writing a book.
Mm.
You just want to, you want people to kind of, you know, listen and understand your feelings your pains, your emotions, everything you're going through, painting a picture and letting us know this is actually what it is, you know. But when you listen to music in that kind of way, then you kind of realize, oh, who's actually has potential to blow and who actually has potential to like just do music for the fun of it. But then, either or, both of them are good because you never know with music nowadays. Like it could be a song that like nobody has ever listened to before. Your song that you wrote in your bedroom that could really be the one having 100 million streams. I remember when the boys done the Plugged In, it was literally written on a Sprinter in a way. On the way to Fumes' studio.
That's so crazy,
like, yeah,
man.
So like it was just like it was amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
And that has 100 million streams on Spotify.
Yeah, that's it. Tell us more about that time. It was a great Plugged In session, but were you expecting it to do what it did, like and go that far?
No, I didn't, be honest with you.
Yeah.
No. Obviously like we had a great, like, I mean, that year was the year where I said, you know what, guys, let's take this music thing seriously. So I actually got the group together. They already had a kind of name with themselves, 892.
Yeah.
So it made sense, and then just putting the right people in the shoes, you know. So we had the likes of K-Sav, Debo coming out, Officer, BT, Nix, and Kebs, and these guys are phenomenal rappers. They're all sick in their own individual way, and that's what you want. You want variety of different tastes, and very soon you start seeing most of them on like their own solo records as well. So that's what we're seeing. But it was something that we didn't expect. Like we knew, like, you know, the boys have the potential to do this and they can do it again. I think they can definitely do it once or three. No, they can do it multiple times. Yeah. Do you know what it is about making a hit? It's just about getting out of your head about the first one.
Right.
And then you can go again. So
you find that they, you know, people try and recreate the same thing.
Yeah.
If it works, that they're, rather than maybe varying what they put out, that they're just trying to recreate that again.
Yeah, yeah. No, for example, like even Officer right now, he's understood his assignment. He's merging two different cultures, the Irish version of himself and the Nigerian version of himself, and putting it together and making a song like Odi Don Don, which...
That was crazy.
That was, man, I couldn't... I seen a TikTok, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, what's going on? Is that the band
right there,
like,
you know?
What?
I was like, what? That's crazy.
Tell us about that. How did that come about?
That song was like, it was amazing. Obviously, when Officer wrote it,
he
was like, oh no, I know how the video is going to be. I want the band here, this. And we were like, how are we going to
So he sampled
that?
Him on purpose? Like,
no, he sampled him not even knowing that he was going to be in the song.
Mad, right?
Do you get me? So we had no idea. And then it was just like, we just decided, we need to actually try and reach out to this guy. So send emails to his management. And then we actually realized that his management actually heard about the song already. So we were told that the band was in the UK on like Thursday. We flew that same day to London. And that's when I realized that we are actually like in this. Like, we're actually doing this music thing. Like we're not just saying
same day, like, yeah, book it, let's go.
We need to go.
I love that though.
Nah,
so we went over, went to his manager's place, who actually he's a football agent as well. So
I'm telling you, dreams coming for you, man. I'm telling you.
He's a football agent as well, so he does music management and football agency as well. And like he's not just doing football agency like with like meaty footballers. He's doing with like the likes of Mason Mount, Jack Grealish.
Wow. Okay.
Gareth Bale's PFA Player of the Award was on his like desk, and I was just like, wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I actually said that and I said, whoa, I've come to the big leagues, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Still being humble, though, but like, you know, it was just a humbling experience. Then the band just walks in and he's like, that's him. Sent officer, that's him, that's the guy.
Wow,
let's arrest him.
intellectual property,
I think he said he said that he really loved the song, and if he didn't like the song, he wouldn't let us release it. He actually genuinely liked the song. That's what
brilliant.
He, like, you know, he wanted to support all the way he can, shared it on his social media so now we've built a whole new fan base in Nigeria, and that's exactly what the plan was for the song.
That's huge, you know? And I feel like I'm kind of going a little bit off here, but that is a market that I feel like the Irish community definitely could tap in. I know we focus a lot on the UK and the US, and we're like, oh, how are we going to collaborate and how are we going to get in touch with these people, but the whole continent of Africa is there for people to collaborate and work with and stuff like that, and that's definitely an avenue I think people could start going down. But look, I think obviously what you're doing is working really well. I mean, people are definitely recognising what you're doing, and that entrepreneurial spirit where you're identifying these opportunities and taking them is certainly something that's helping the music industry in Ireland.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question. How important is it for people to have a team around them that are following up with those those opportunities, and how can people go about getting the right team around them?
Yeah, very true. I think even for myself, I had to realise that I can't do it by myself. I was doing it for 2 years by myself. So when Officer Don, Skiddy Bop, and he was doing all these other records, it were all by myself and my team within the UK. But then I realised I need to get an external team. So that's when we got people like Steffi involved, and we had a whole fresh new team.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a lot of artists are missing a team, so they don't know which way to go. Like, you know, there's no direction. When you have a team, you kind of have a bit of direction. Like, even for example, Black and Irish.
Yeah.
For example, Leon knew he couldn't do it by himself. He knew he needed individuals to play their role, and it's the exact same way with any business. I feel like there's always going to be a CEO, a board of managing directors, maybe a CFO. Like, there's going to be definitely some sort of people around and a big company. So same thing with the music industry. Identify people who are in your friendship group, who are in your workplace, who are in like the music industry itself, and let them know, I want you to be part of my team. Going out and looking for team people is not as hard as people think it's going to be.
Right.
It's the same way I had to go and look out for the connections and the relationships. So I think you can do it as well. Just do it. I think I need to write a book and say, just do it.
Man, that's the next test for you, man.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think Nike will probably sue me, but...
Not if you ask them. It works with the band, you know? Yeah, who could tell? So, you know, as you say, you know, with the band and Officer, with Cello, what do you see as next step for like the Irish rap scene?
We need to get a number one.
All right.
Mm.
The number one is calling our names. I think the heavy is the head. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Have you heard Stormzy say that before?
Yeah, it's the name of the album.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Yeah, so
you can see why we know the most are singers.
So, like, basically, I think like we just need to kind of put it on ourselves and wear this crown and say we are not going to stop. Even if we do get the number one, we're still going to continue to push for the number zero. Like, we want to go for the best of the best. Yeah. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So, like, that's basically where we're at right now. I think the number one is probably calling our names. Yeah,
100%.
I think we're close.
And there we are.
Tell us a bit more about A92 and, like, the group and, like, you know, how it is managing them as a whole.
Yeah. So, the A92 are, like, a bunch of creatives.
Mm.
These guys are very, very creative human beings. They're not just only creative in the music aspect of things, but also in, like, clothing. And like business wise, you know, and like some of them are very good designers.
Mm.
So the thing about them is that like when I realized that I need to actually select, because there wasn't only them. There was like a whole load of different people trying to, now, like, you know, especially when Officer Blue, it's like when something's on fire, everyone wants to touch it. Like, everyone wants to, you know, come close to that. So I had to kind of select who would make sense. So when I had to do like a, you know, a CRB check, background check on everybody, check, yo, are you going to bring me any trouble? Are you going to, you know, guide a vet? And trust me, it was a job application at this point. I'm going to take you to the moon. Like, I'm going to take you to the stars. At that point, I just realized, nah, these guys that I have selected are the most talented. They are the most humble.
Right.
That's big, actually. You know, the team dynamic.
The
team dynamic.
I think when we go on like trips to the UK, or like we've been to different countries, Italy, Prague, when we travel for music purposes, I've noticed that like. It just, there's like a glue that sticks these men together, and like, it's just like, that's what you want. You don't want a group of people that say they're friends, but they're not really friends.
Mm.
Like the loyal group that I have is amazing. And I feel like that's what, you know, makes things run like,
Is there like a certain degree of like, you know, healthy competition within the group?
I think that was like the main thing. The main thing. And now that like, I'm getting everyone to start their own solo careers as well.
Right.
Like, that's going to be coming out. You're going to realize that, yo, this guy wants to be better than him.
Brilliant. Okay.
And I think that's what's going to make things beautiful.
Yeah. Well, look, no, I'm definitely excited to see that. Well, look, Savo, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Subscribe to the Black and Irish podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the RTE Radio Player app.